It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Mr. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio, and he is a film critic of great renown. You can read him in the Chicago Sun-Times, or you can listen to his podcast, which is available on Apple Podcasts or on the Spotify. Thank you.
You always forget Spotify. I don't know why
I have a problem with that.
He just looks at Lauren and she gives him modern terms. Google Play, Spotify.
Yes. He's starring in a great podcast with a co-host named Rokan, who I happen to not really respect, but I like his work.
Much like Leo and Brad in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
One is the stunt double for the other.
I was thinking of you two as I watched Once Upon a Time for the first time. I think I can kind of pull some comparisons to this relationship between the two.
It really is true.
Especially the crying in the parking lot. Where I'm like, can't let the valet guys. I'll just say valet guys. They call it differently.
Yeah, you guys are drinking buddies. You help each other out. Partners in crime.
Yeah.
I end up on the roof always trying to fix
his antenna. Why do you have an antenna still, bro?
The point is that Mr. Richard Roper is... I did once... I have... In the parking lot at Sabatino's, I cried to him, it's all over, buddy. It's all over. My career's over.
And the first time you did that was in the parking lot of seven restaurants that don't exist anymore, because it was 1992.
Yeah, that's really true.
So he's been saying the doom for a long time.
So, Mr. Richard Roper, so again, film critic of great renown. You can read him in the Sun-Times or the podcast is now available. The best movies of the decade, that was just released, and then 20 movies to look out for in 2020. And next week, it's going to be our Oscars preview.
The race
for the gold. All right. Let us talk about the movies that are out right now.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing. You know, it's 2020 and new movies come out every week, whether you like it or not sometimes. In the early January releases, historically, you expect to see something where all of a sudden, like the kid from Spider-Man is 12 because the movie's been sitting on the shelf for 7 years and they finally put it out there. But once in a while, you get some gems as well. You got to see all the movies before you make the judgment. I know you don't necessarily agree with that philosophy. Mr. YouTube.
That makes it very interesting. Makes for an interesting comparison when we're actually talking about these movies. I've seen all the ones we talk about, but go ahead.
That's true. So, in some cases, though, you can kind of see it coming. You can see the train going off the tracks, just like when you tried to put your Hot Wheels together back in 1977 with the orange track, and then you know the cars were going to go right off the rails. That brings us to Like a Boss, the would-be comedy opening this weekend. This is Tiffany Haddish, who we like. You know, Tiffany Haddish is very, very funny. And Rose Byrne, who's in the Neighbors movies and Bridesmaids, who's beautiful. But, you know, they both are beautiful, intelligent, charismatic on-screen personas. So to team them up in a buddy comedy seems like it could be a good idea, except for this is so dreadful. So horrible. I did talk to Michael Phillips, my counterpart at the Tribune. Combined, we gave this movie 3 stars, but we had to add our stars up for this to give you an idea. Do we have a little sound from Like a Boss?
I need you to be fierce yourself so that you can inspire the ugly people to buy themselves into gorgeousness. Listen to the word. Fierced. Fierced. What is it saying to you?
I hear fear, damn, erst.
I hear that too.
Fierced.
Okay, that's Salma Hayek. She plays this cosmetics, you know, legend who wants to buy up the boutique cosmetic store that best friends Tiffany Haddish and Rose Byrne have put together. And as you can tell by that scene, there's no movie in this movie. They just have fun with her not being able to pronounce fierce, and then that smashing sound as she takes out a golf club and smashes a vase for no reason whatsoever. As if they were all on set and said, what are we going to do today? Well, let's have Salma mispronounce a word and you guys riff off it. Most of the movie, it's 83 minutes long and it's still stretched out. The whole thing is they're best friends. They put together this, you know, this boutique cosmetics store and online business. Then Salma's character swoops in and wants to buy them out. And she tries to pit them against one another and they have their moments of, oh my gosh, we doubt our friendship. It is so ridiculous and so labored. I said 5 minutes into this movie, I'm like, I know there's going to be a scene where we're going to be in a karaoke bar. And sure enough, like just out of nowhere, like again, because they have to fill the movie. Hey, it's karaoke night. I'm like, oh, okay, got your karaoke scene. And it's very, very raunchy. It's that school of thought that says, let's dust off what could have been a guy buddy movie back in the day and put women in the lead, which was novel 10 years ago with Bridesmaids. It's no longer novel. It just proves these movies can be just as bad with women in the leads. You have do not take your mother or your grandmother to see this movie.
Should you even go to this movie?
No, you should not. But if you think, oh, this will be fun, you know, I could take mom or grandma.
Yeah,
don't do it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, don't do it. Unless your mother, Sarah Silverman, you know, can handle. I mean, the blue humor, the descriptions of female parts are. I've never even. I had to look up some of the words afterward.
How many stars you give it?
1.5. Okay. I'm in a generous mood, so extra half. Right now on Rotten Tomatoes, it does have one positive review from Variety.
From Tiffany Haddish's agent.
Out of all the dozens of reviews.
All right, let's find out what's happening in the skies and on the roadways. Lauren Lapka.
Watch for Chicago's very own Stories with Micah and Joe. Micah Matera and Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9.
Thank you, Kevin Powell. Richard Roper is in the studio with us, famed film critic and, extraordinaire. Don't you have to say that when you say famed, whatever it is? All right, you just told us, Like a Boss, a new Tiffany Haddish movie, is 1.5 stars. It's got 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, I believe that among what they call the top critics, those who are getting paid to give their reviews. Yes.
Yes. We could get 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm always actually kind of entertained or intrigued when something is so horrible or so great. You want to read at least the one or two reviews that are contrarian.
Stephen King. You love Stephen King? Who here? Show of hands, people love Stephen King.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Show of hands on the radio?
Yes.
That's good.
Oh, everybody here, this
I
is
weird. There were seven right hands. Hand.
Yeah, and only three people. Typical Stephen King. One came out from the grave.
So the HBO limited series, The Outsider, is a Stephen King story. Tell us about it.
Okay, so The Outsider is based on a Stephen King novel. And Richard Price, who's adapting it, is one of the great crime and television writers, The Wire, The Night Of. So it's like two of the great heavyweight storytellers of our time combining for this limited series. It's so fascinating from the start. The first episode, Jason Bateman, who better to play a likable family man? He's the Little League coach in an all-American town in Arkansas. Who better than Jason Bateman to play a guy? And that's who he's playing. And then on the Little League field during a game, the police show up en masse, handcuff him, arrest him, and he is tried and convicted for the brutal kidnapping and murder of a local 8-year-old boy. Shocks the community, national attention to this. How could this happen? His DNA evidence is all over the crime scene. Eyewitnesses, several, saw him with the little boy on the day of the murder. Also, he was at a literary conference 70 miles away during the time of the murder. And there's video of him asking a question at the conference in front of 200 people. So he's definitely guilty. The DNA evidence has him nailed. The eyewitnesses have him nailed. He's definitely not guilty. Because there are witnesses. There's evidence that he wasn't even in town. How can this be? It's a Stephen King story. That's how it can be. And it's not what you think. He doesn't have a twin brother or anything like that. That is the premise for The Outsider.
Wow.
Pretty intriguing, right?
Well, isn't it? It's interesting because that is such a timely story. It catches the zeitgeist of the culture because we are now in a moment of not knowing what's real anymore, right? It's like, what do you believe? You believe one thing or you believe the other? And sometimes it's based on premises that don't actually exist.
And Cynthia Erivo, great actress who just starred last year in Harriet. She was in Widows. She's a great singer. She's got all the talent in the world. She plays the local investigators. Even though they're sure Jason Bateman's character did it, they now start to have some doubts. And they're thinking, like, there's something going on here beyond our normal understanding. So they bring in her character, who's an investigator who has some paranormal skills as well. And she discovers that this isn't the only case of this kind in America, that at least in two other instances, in two other cities, very similar things happen, where someone was absolutely guilty of the crime, except for had an absolutely ironclad alibi. And then it gets really dark and maybe a little supernatural. Think of True Detective. Like, it's kind of done. It looks like True Detective, but if M. Night Shyamalan was doing it, where you're like,
there's a
twist.
I don't
know what's going on here. And maybe some of the dreams at night that some people are having aren't dreams.
You're giving way too much. Now I'm
totally you don't know. Agree. You don't know. It could be anything. Is there really a boogeyman? Could there actually be such a thing?
May I ask this question? Okay. How many episodes?
There are 10. I've seen 6. And based on the 6, I give it 3.5 stars. The only reason I don't give it 4 stars is it does seem reminiscent of a certain movie. I'm not going to say the name of the movie. And if it doesn't have the different ending or different resolution, then I'm going to say, well, it's somewhat derivative of a certain movie. But I'm not going to tell you the movie.
I'm watching this tonight.
You can't watch it tonight because it doesn't start till Sunday. But Sunday, Kev,
that's what
I'm in front of your television. I think I could be wrong about that. I believe Sunday night, 8 o'clock HBO. And it's going to be one of those where you're not going to be able to binge watch it. I'm looking at the millennials here in the room. You're going to have to watch it week to week.
All right.
Oh, like we did back in the days when shows like Lost and Love American Style were on the air.
What are they going to do? Do you realize the kind of white people problems, white privilege problems that these two millennials have?
Okay, wine fridge.
They cannot. These two have.
Let me tell you something.
Can't sit down and watch everything at the same time.
I'm so trained and so used to that and so spoiled by that. As I was watching the episodes that HBO sent me, it goes just like when you're binge watching anything on Netflix or anything like that. You know, when the fourth episode ends, it tells you the next episode is coming in five. When the sixth episode ended, I started punching my screen. Why are you going to the seventh episode? Why are you stopping now? And I'm like, oh, they only sent me the sixth episode. Okay. And then I went back, refreshed just in case. Maybe they sent me four more. They didn't. Because they know better than that.
So will you get
brilliant.
Will you get the rest before the series is over?
Here's what they usually do. Yeah. You know, they sent me the sixth. So now that's already taking us up until March in terms of when these are going to run in real time. They'll probably send 7, 8, 9 in the interim. Probably won't, the finale and something like this where there's definitely going to be a whodunit and a conclusion. Probably send it to me 48 hours beforehand saying, please, please don't ruin this for the others. Please don't ruin this for the others. And I won't. I promise.
Now, this is interesting.
Oh, it's
because this
keep the nightlight on.
Is going to run the same, essentially it's going to run in the same period that Game of Thrones was running in. This is their answer. This is their 2020 answer to the 2019 deluge of viewership of Game of Thrones.
Nothing's going to match that in terms of viewership, I think, ever for any show or being a cultural phenomenon. It does speak to the quality of this show. You mentioned the people behind the scenes and the A-list cast that they believe in this show. And it's a great looking series. Clearly spent a lot of money on this. Each episode is about 50 minutes long. So close to an hour-long episode. It does have some of that dark, murky stuff that, you know, sometimes the people get a little angry at because a lot of stuff happens at night in this thing, in the
it's
shadows.
It's called The Outsider. It's on HBO. It's a Stephen King novel. And again, it's Jason Bateman. Is he a dastardly murderer or is he a man wrongly accused? But with a twist and a half here.
Twist and a half. Ben Mendelsohn, who usually plays the villain in movies, plays the good guy, local cop. And everybody in this movie is haunted by something. Tragedy in their past, new tragedies. There's this kind of smell of death around everything.
Wow.
And yet some cause for hope and some dark humor. But it's Stephen King. So, you know, I said keep the light on. Actually, turn all the lights off. Because if you turn the night light on, it might illuminate the shadow of something else who stopped by and didn't use the front door.
Just Mercy, this the heavily promoted film, Michael B. Jordan. Right?
Yes.
And Jamie Foxx. And this is about a guy who's on death row who's wrongly convicted.
Yeah, this is a film that we talk about these January releases, and this is just arriving here in Chicago. And I hope it doesn't get lost in all the awards talk and all the other things that are out there, because it's a very strong film. I'm giving it 3 stars. Michael B. Jordan, as we already know, is one of our best younger actors. Mm-hmm. It's based on a real life story set in the late 80s, early 90s. He plays Brian Stevenson, a real life Harvard law grad who could have gone to any firm in the country, but instead went down to Alabama to fight for convicts on death row who maybe shouldn't be on death row. Jamie Foxx plays the real life guy who was down there, who was quickly arrested and convicted for a murder he clearly did not commit. But once the system decided he had committed this murder, he had no hope until Michael B. Jordan's character comes along. What I like about this film a lot, too, is that Jamie Foxx is such a megawatt star, but this film reminds us that he is a really good actor.
Oh, amazing.
He disappears into this character. And Brie Larson, Academy Award winner, she plays the head of the Legal Advocacy Center that she works with Michael B. Jordan. So look at the cast here.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you know where this story's going. Spoiler alert, they don't make movies about wrongly convicted death row inmates who are put to death at the end of the story, usually. They have.
Well, yeah, or,
you know, but that is not the case here. You kind of see where this is going. It strikes all the familiar notes, but it's so well done. And it's such an inspirational story in the end.
I've noticed that there are a number of things popping now, not just obviously this one's coming to the theater. I believe there is a streaming show with the same thematic and a network show coming on that all have the same theme, essentially, of guys who are wrongly convicted and trying to get themselves. It's also touching, again, the spirit of the time, which is that, you know, for justice reform and all those kinds of things, that you're finding that there, I find it just very interesting that there are three narrative, one movie and two series that are all touching the same thing.
Yeah, and it may just be, you know, a pure coincidence. These stories are timeless. And look, however you feel about the death penalty, whether, you know, it should be the ultimate form of justice, as we saw in Illinois, there are too many times when the wrong person is put to death and we find out after the case. And that's why there is no death penalty in Illinois any longer. It's not because there was some sort of massive moral movement against it. It was because, wait a minute.
Yeah, we were getting sued into the ground.
And the same thing is happening and happened in other states, as this movie points out, where if 9% roughly of executed death row inmates were actually not guilty, that's horrific.
Yeah. Killing 10% innocent.
Yeah, exactly. Men. And once you're convicted and you're on death row, it's very, very rare that train ever stops.
Yeah. All right. So Like a Boss gets a star and a half. The Outsider, the HBO limited series that starts Sunday. Is it Curb Your Enthusiasm coming back Sunday?
Is Sunday the 13th? What day? What year is this?
This is the year 2020, and I believe that Sunday will be the 12th.
I believe it premieres the week after that. I know it premieres soon in January.
Okay.
And our friend Jeff Garland told you it's the best story arc they've ever had.
That is true. He did tell us.
Which is amazing when you think of some of the producers and Hamilton-esque things with Lin-Manuel that they did.
Yes. It just between that and Veep, I cannot decide what is the best sitcom of all times.
I believe
January 19th, by the way.
Thank you, Lauren. I thought it was a week from Sunday or a week from Saturday. And in this episode, this story arc, I believe that Larry David is absolutely guilty of murder, and yet somehow is seen 70 miles away. No, that is not true.
All right, hold on. There's an update. I'm sorry, but this has to be discussed because we have not yet discussed this. There is an update on the Harry and Meghan story.
Oh no.
Wild developments today in this. I know what you're thinking.
What?
The royals. What do we care? Well, wait till you find out what just happened.
Okay.
Stay right with us. We'll tell you and we'll discuss. Richard, will you can you stick around for a moment to talk about the royal family?
Sure. Sounds like a movie in the making.
You know, The Crown, that's a fairly successful enterprise, right? For Netflix. And it's getting all these awards, you know, that's Olivia Wilde or Olivia, what's her name? Olivia
Colman.
Yep. Thank you. That's a different person. Olivia Colman, you know, won the Golden Globe for playing the Queen. You knew that was going to happen at the Golden Globes because a bunch of, you know, foreign press.
It looks like something the Queen would have on a shelf anyway.
Yes, exactly. It is very good, but it does tell you about the constraints. I mean, that's the thing that's what the story is about, the constraints of being a royal. Well, the bounds have been broken.
Oh.
And it's a really fascinating story that it's like an escape that Meghan Markle has had to make from England. We'll tell you that story, but first, Kim Gordon's got the WGN News right now.